to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. Remain standing if you would. This story, I'll never forget. I grew up in the church, but I'll never forget when I first read. And this is a true story for those that may not know that. That took place. But I'll never forget when I was about in probably my 19-20 college years that I read this story, and this story changed my life. And I pray it does the same as we get into this. Now the wife, listen down, lean in and listen to this story. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha. Elisha was a great man of God, a prophet, and cried to him, you know, started pouring out her heart. She said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." Okay, so serious situation. You got this woman and her husband has just died. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor, anybody ever get calls from the creditor? Why ain't you paid your bill? And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. In other words, she can't pay her bills. And because of that, the creditor is going to come. Okay, I'm going to take your sons if you can't pay. I'm glad they don't do that nowadays. Although there might be days we may give our sons. Come on, amen. She said, "They've come to take my sons to be their slaves." The man of God, the prophet says, Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house, except a jar of oil. Small jar of oil." So he says to this lady in this deficit moment, "Okay, we'll go outside and borrow vessels, jars, from the neighborhood, from all your neighbors, borrow empty jars, empty vessels. And by the way, don't just get a couple, get a whole bunch. Then," he said, "go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons. Shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all these vessels from that little jar of oil. And when one is full, set it aside." And you that know the Israelites and know this story, this is not some little jar, these vessels that they went and get. These are huge things. And she has a little jar of oil. And he says, "Pour your oil into these vessels and they're going to get full. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from this man of God that told her this word, shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured the vessels, as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." Then the oil stopped flowing. There's no more vessels, Mama. The Bible says the oil then stopped flowing out of her little jar. She came and told the man of God, and he said to her, the man who gave her this word from God, that spoke this for her to do something kind of crazy, "Okay, now go and sell the oil." And for you that know, it's worth a lot of money. "Go sell the oil and pay all of your debt, all your bills. And you and your sons," there's going to be enough left over. There's going to be enough left over. I said there's going to be enough left over. That not only are you going to pay all your debt, but there's going to be a whole bunch where you and your sons can live on. And even may go down to the beach on spring break. What you have in your house, what you have, and I'm talking to you personally, forget everybody else in the room, and I'm preaching out of myself, what you have is enough for your miracle, for whatever you need, for your life. Come on, say amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Let it speak to us, Holy Spirit, and every person watching online. Speak directly. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. And I thank you this is not some religious service. But you are in the room like Nate was singing. You didn't have to come, but I'm sure glad you did. And you're here to speak life into every person, every guest, every person watching online. And I ask you to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen simply means so be it. It's done. Whatever was just prayed. And everybody said, slap a high five and say, you have more than enough for what you need. You may be seated. I want to this morning speak to every person in this room. I say every person because I've come to find out that everybody at some time or another has a deficit in your life. As I grow older, I've learned that there are different types of poverty, different types of deficits. When I say poverty, we're always thinking money. You can be rich financially and broke emotionally. You can be rich financially and be broken relationally. You could have a lot in your life and you could have a lot of responsibility and find yourself in a deficit without joy. And the more I look around the world, I'm going to get emotional. I don't need to get so emotional. The more I look around the world, I see a world in deficit. Not only those that don't know Jesus, but even those that are in the body of Christ, in the elect. Whether rich or poor, whatever color your skin is, wherever you live, I found that deficits are no respecters of persons. There are people that drove a Mercedes to church here today, and there's some that drove a Volkswagen or took a bus or an Uber. But I've come to find out deficit doesn't just pick on certain people. You can live down at the yacht club in a $1 million house and still be broke. You could live in a one-bedroom studio apartment and be rich. I've learned as a pastor and looking at people's lives over the last 30 years that everybody has deficits. Everyone can be in a deficit at some point in their life, and sometimes it's a long season. The reason I love this story in 2 Kings, not only did it change my life when I was a teenager and into my 20s, but I love it because the story, you've got to understand what's around the story. Elisha is a great man of God. And I love this story because it shows me that what we walk through and what others may seem as insignificant, not important, God thinks is important. Because right before this miracle that took place where her oil in this little jar was multiplied into huge vessels, Elisha just got through helping three incredible kings. Whoa. And gave them wisdom. Then after this miracle, you find him helping this very wealthy woman with an amazing miracle that takes place. And sandwiched right in between, you find this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. And it lets me know a scripture that comes to mind is in the book of Malachi. And I love this scripture. Listen to what it is. You won't see it on the screen, but it says, whatever you're concerned about, God is. Actually, it's worded like this. Whatever concerns you concerns God. And it lets me know that my problem, this woman has a serious problem to her. Her, you know, what some folks may go, your husband's dead. Come on, just go to work and pay your bills. But I love it that God cares about us. He cares about today. When you walked in this room, your life may have a deficit in it. You may be empty and void of joy, void of life, fighting depression, temptation, even the shackles of sin or bondage may have you bound. But God. Because she didn't go to church to get a word. She was in her house. And the prophet God showed up right in the middle of her deficiency. Verse 1 says this. I'm going to go back to verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha. So this is a church girl. This lady's a church girl. She grew, you know, she's been with Jesus. She's been with God. Old Testament God. She says to the man of God, my husband is dead. And you know that he feared the Lord. Now, when I was looking at this, that I kind of stopped right there because it was like she was trying to prove to the man of God that, hey, we're good folk. That, hey, my husband, by the way, was a man of God. Sometimes we find ourselves in tough situations that are not, listen, lean in, that are not a result of our disobedience. She had not been disobedient. Now the devil will show up and say, you must have done something wrong to be in your situation right now. And that's how the enemy gets you off of faith into fear. But this woman is in a deficit mode and in a situation not because of something she's done wrong or because of her disobedience. Have you ever noticed that life doesn't make allowances for your crisis? That the world doesn't somehow send out a memo and say, hey guys, take it easy on Ryan today. He's having a bad day. The world doesn't announce to itself, hey, be sweet to Ryan today because he's going through a situation right now. How many knows that doesn't happen that way? That sometimes even in the middle of your deficit, it's like all hell break loose. Everybody gets crazy. At work and on, it seems like, Lord, my life is spinning. So even though this woman was a woman of God, even though her husband who has died was a man of God, the bottom line is life goes on. And the bills had to be paid. Help me, somebody. The bills had to be paid. And this woman did not have the money to pay her own bills. And in fact, if she doesn't pay them, they come in to get my two sons. And they're the only thing I've got left. The fact is, she was in a huge deficit. Verse 2 in the story goes on to say, check it out. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Now, wait a minute. I have been in that situation where I've kind of let somebody know what I'm going through. And I know at this moment when the man of God says, what shall I do for you? She thought in her mind immediately, ooh, he finna pull out the checkbook. Glory to God, I knew him coming to my house was God. He fixing to write me a check. Hey! So many times we look at other people to bail us out. We call Capital One credit card. We call family and we kind of, you know, faith without hints is dead. We hint that, man, I hope I make it to church today because my tires are bald. Hint, 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 hint. Maybe we're hinting to the wrong person and the wrong source. So he says, what shall I do for you? But watch this. Check it out on the screen. He immediately, like, comes back at this awkward moment and answers his own question and says to her, tell me, what do you have in your house? Because he's in the widow's house. What do you have in your house? And she said, your servant has nada, nothing in the house except a jar of oil. You do understand, Prophet Elijah, that's why I'm coming to you. I can't pay the bills, and you sitting around asking me what I have in my house, what am I going to do, have a yard sale? I ain't got anything worth anything to even put on eBay right now. I'm telling you what I have nothing in my house. I am in a serious situation. You're going to ask me what I have in my house. Look, okay, all I have in my house, it may be enough to pay for my own funeral, and it's this little jar of oil. Somebody say, little jar of oil. And he said, okay. She says, I got a little jar of oil. He says back to her, okay, go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors and make sure they are empty vessels. And let me just encourage you, borrow a whole bunch of vessels. What? I know you're a man of God, Elisha, but you got a problem hearing. I told you I have nothing, and then you telling me to go get empty vessels from neighbors around the neighborhood. You got to have something if you're going to put it into something. How can you put nothing into something, and you're telling me to go get these huge vessels first? I don't need something when I have nothing to put into it. Or do you? Or do you? If you'll remember in the beginning when God created the world, it was without form and void. And the first thing God did was to form it before he filled it. In other words, he borrowed empty vessels before he put what was valuable in it. He created the Garden of Eden before he put something in it. God sometimes works in different ways than we think, which causes our faith to come alive. She tells the prophet, I have nothing. Now, I think somewhere in that scripture there was this awkward pause. Have you ever been with somebody having a bad day and they complaining about everything? Have you ever done that? And the person that you're with that's complaining starts just going, I don't have nothing. I have nothing to live for. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. And you look at the person, you pause, and you get that Aunt Esther look, that stank eye. And you look at them, because this is how foolish it is. You go, nothing? Yeah, I have nothing to live for. I don't even want to live. Look at my life. It's messed up. I have nothing. I'm 50 years old, and I thought I would be somewhere by now, but I have nothing. And you look at them and go, you have nothing to live for? Am I the only one that notices you have an amazing wife, a husband? Am I the only one that notices you have your two legs working? Am I the only one that notices that you alive when you should be dead? Am I the only one that notices that we live in America and the poorest person in America is richer than 97% of the world? And you tell me you have nothing? You have two amazing kids, amazing grand. You have a job. Last time I checked, you went to O'Charlie's last night and ate. You paid the bill, right? And you say that you have nothing. And I imagine it was an awkward moment between that when he says, what do you have in your house? I have nothing except little jar of oil. Here's the problem for me and you many times as I speak from myself. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed by our scarcity that we minimize our supply. We get so overwhelmed by our deficit that we forget about what we do have. And I love this story because he says to her, what do you have? A little jar of oil. Great. Go get it. I love it that Elisha, the man of God, instructs this woman who's in the middle of a deficit to check her oil. Turn and tell somebody, check your oil. Sometimes you need to stop and check your own oil. It is possible that you and I are overlooking the very thing that God wants to use to perform a miracle. It's very possible that little jar of oil is the very thing that God wants to use to blow your mind. But when you've lived in a deficit so long, sometimes it's difficult to appreciate what you have. Especially when you've lost a lot. When it seems like life has done nothing but steal, and problem after problem, I've ended up with nothing. She's lost her husband. She has spent almost everything, and she's got one little jar of oil. In fact, if you read this story correctly, she thinks that her little jar of oil in her house is so insignificant that it's almost like not worth mentioning. What have you got in your house? Nothing. Except a little jar of oil. Let me say something. And I want you to receive it from the Lord. God is about to do something and a miracle in your life. Listen, through something that you don't even think is worth mentioning. God is about to do something in your life that you think you have nothing. God is about to do something in your life that you see is insignificant and not even worth bringing up because it's still nothing. Something that is so small, so insignificant in your sight that your first instinct is not even to bring it up. It could even be your husband or wife, your children, food on the table. The enemy wants you to despise your little jar of oil. Why? Because he knows he can't steal your oil. He can't take what God has given. You know, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. When I say oil, I'm not talking about money, all right? It may be. The enemy can't touch your oil. He can't touch your little jar of oil. The gifts of God are irrevocable. Your talents, your gifts, your life, the Holy Spirit in you. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. It's how they anointed the kings even. The Word of God, the water of the Word. The enemy cannot take what belongs to you. Come on, somebody. The devil can't steal what God has given. The oil could represent your gladness, joy, your gift, your calling on your life, your purpose in life. Your oil may be an idea that God gave you for a business. Your oil may be the time that God has given you in your life. I thought about this. If I were the enemy and I knew I couldn't take your oil, listen, I knew I couldn't take your little jar of oil in your life, I know exactly what I would do. I would make you think your oil is so little and so insignificant that it's not even important. I would make you think your life is not important. I would make you think your oil is not important. Your gifts and your talents, they're insignificant. They're small. You'll never amount to anything. Your oil is not even worth mentioning. And this is why some people even come to church every Sunday, week after week, and sit in a church service. And yet they stay in their deficit. They think what they have is nothing. Why? How do I know this? Because I talk to you. They think what they have inside of them is not worth anything. It's not even worth mentioning, to the point where sometimes I even think about taking my own life because my oil is not even valuable. It's insignificant. They never realize that they have something. Whether you feel like it or not, I want you to say something. Say, I have something. No, say, I have something. Say, I have something. I don't have nothing. Say, I have something. I have a gift. I have a talent. I have a praise. I have something. Somebody say, I have something. Your praise is something. Your gift and your talent. More than that, I want to tell somebody, your life is something. It is something. It is something. You just don't see it. You think your oil is insignificant. I get it. I've been there. It's a lie of the enemy. If I can't steal your oil, I'll make you think it's worthless. If I can't steal your gift and your calling, I'll make you live in depression, insecurity, and make you think like it ain't even worth joining the choir. Are you kidding me? It ain't worth joining the media team. Are you kidding me? You're so dumb you can't even operate your phone on your camera on your own phone. Oh, maybe he didn't say stuff to you like that, but I've heard that voice of the stranger. I've heard the lies of the enemy that at times I believed it because of where I was in my deficiency. No, my husband didn't die or my wife didn't die, but I've been in that place where it was dark and I didn't have an answer. And I wanted to lay down, drink the Kool-Aid, and die. Oh, I can't get anybody to be real with me on this Thanksgiving weekend. You see, the moment you get real, he can deal. The moment you get honest about where you are, then that allows God. If you won't let him wash your feet, he can't do anything. If you don't go, I'm right here, right now. But God. Somebody say, I have something. Say, I have something for the world. Yes, you do. If anything, you have a praise. That's why this worship this morning was so good. It's not an opening act at church. Oh, isn't that nice? A nice song and, oh, praise the Lord, that was good. This is church. No, there were people up here that's been in a deficit or they're in one now. And they know that the gateway to their breakthrough is praise. Turn and tell somebody, you have something whether you realize it or not. Ask them, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Here's the problem. We think our oil is not important. It's somewhere in the pantry. It's not even out on display because if people walk in, they'll be like, that's all you got? We have this problem because we look at this Hallmark movie world. It starts snowing at the right time. The bells. Look at the decorations in their house. And one day I'm going to have decorations like that. Oh, wow. They fell in love. Oh, it all worked out where everybody got somebody but me. We have a tendency to compare our oil with others. We have this tendency to look at people on Facebook and their Christmas cards we get in the mail that look so perfect, yet they're photoshopped. They're airbrushed to cut a few pounds off and to take the pimples off. We have a tendency to look at everybody else's oil. We have a tendency to look at their family picture where it looks like the husband and wife are so in love and the kids smiled perfectly. Well, you don't know, it took 500 shots. 500 camera shots. And before the picture was taken, the husband and wife were fighting in the car on the verge of a divorce. The kids were acting a fool. They just wanted to give them away. Everybody was sweating. We changed clothes. You didn't see it, but my littlest one didn't even have socks on because we painted some socks. You need to enjoy your own oil. Tell somebody, enjoy your own oil. Don't be looking at other people's oil, because probably what you're looking at is not real. Tell somebody, enjoy your oil. Say, check your oil and enjoy your own oil. Sitting there watching Hallmark crying. My oil one day, give me some cheeseburger chocolate, give me some more, the pain's down. Oh, it's true. It's true. I want to make clear again what the enemy is doing to so many in this room and those that may be even watching online. The enemy, who is real, knows that he can't take your gift. He can't take your oil and your calling and your talents. He can't steal your voice, Ariel. That incredible talent that you have to sing that is unbelievable. Your gift to create and do parties and hospitality, design clothes, put together a machine and take it apart and put it together without ever even having to look at any instructions or YouTube channels. He knows he can't take those things. He can't take your oil, but he can make you think that your oil is not important. He can make you think your gift, your talent is insignificant. You're washed up. You're too old. Do you realize all the sin you've been doing or have done? That's simple. Give me 30 seconds. We'll fix that if you mean in your heart. Your past doesn't scare God. Why does it scare you? Your past doesn't scare God. Why are you letting it scare you? This will be your best Thanksgiving if you won't neglect your little jar of oil. If you'll stop thinking what you do have, because we're always looking what everybody else has and wishing we were them. And do you understand? That's like telling the cook, I hate what you made. I don't like the way you made me, God. I wish I was them. I wish I was that person in the Hallmark movie. I wish I was them on Facebook. Tell somebody, enjoy your oil. We end up saying, I have nothing. So, what are you grateful for on this Thanksgiving Eve weekend? Nothing. There comes the eye. An awkward pause. Did you just say nothing? You're like my best friend, you know that? And I sometimes wish I was you. And you're going to say you have nothing? You know how you put things together? You're so administrative, so smart, so intelligent. so fearfully and wonderfully made that there's nobody else like you, and you're going to tell me you have nothing? You're going to tell me you have nothing to live for? I have to follow it up with, really? You have nothing? Nothing. You have nothing? Quit saying you have nothing when you do have something. Quit looking to man to recognize your oil, because man won't until you do. See, I realize that this church is not mine. I know that sounds funny, me saying it. But God trusted me and gave me this ministry. It's His ministry. But He gave me this ministry. And you know what? Listen to me really close and apply it to yourself. Satan knows he can't take this ministry because God gave it to me. But what he does know, he can steal my joy so that I'll lose the ministry. He does know that he can cause different things to happen where I take my eyes off of God and I don't realize the oil in my life. We compare to everybody else. We look at what everybody else has. We look at their jar of oil. No, don't be looking at other people's jar of oil. That's actually a piece of paper in there to make it look like they got more. What's in your house? What is in your house that God can use to do a miracle? Because we know that a miracle took place in this woman's life through what she thought was not even worth mentioning. She was looking at somebody else to show up with a checkbook at the door. Publisher's Clearinghouse to show up with a check. And she was neglecting the very thing that God wanted to use for a miracle. The miracle does not happen until you pour the oil. At the end of the story, she got the miracle because she listened and obeyed what God said. All of the vessels ended up full. But I want you to notice that the miracle did not happen until she started to pour. Your miracle is not going to happen as long as you just hide your oil. Well, I better save it for a bad day. The miracle does not happen until you decide that I am going to pour what I have. Oh, help me, somebody. I'm not sure about you, but the problem for me is when I feel poor, P-O-O-R, I don't feel like pouring, P-O-U-R. I don't know about you, but when I feel I'm in a deficit and I feel poor, P-O-O-R. There's times I don't walk into here and I don't feel like pouring. Because all I got is this. And what's going to happen if I pour out? I'm going to end up really bad, God. I'm sorry, but I better hang on to my oil that I have. Oh, come on, somebody. I better hold on to my oil. You see, when you feel like a poor parent, it will keep you from pouring. When you feel like a poor husband or wife, it will keep your top on. It will keep you from pouring. The enemy will get you to look at what you don't have instead of what you do have. And it makes you want to give up. It can even make you despise the little oil you do have. You pull the jar out. what I got. Look what they got. Look what. Stinking oil. Ain't worth anything. It's not even worth giving. I have absolutely nothing. You're right. You have nothing. Satan says, you're the worst dad in the world. Psst, look at your oil. And he gets you to say, I have nothing, when you really do have something. And he knows the moment you recognize the oil, your miracle's coming. Your miracle's coming. The reason you've been overlooking your oil is because it's insignificant to you. The reason you're overlooking what you have is because it seems small to you, perhaps. The reason it seems small to you is because you have become insecure about yourself. The enemy has you insecure about you. You've got your eyes on you and what you don't have. I'm stupid. I'm worthless. I can't do anything right. I have nothing to give. I mean, dumb things like you cook a dinner and you burn it. And you even say dumb things like, I can't even cook a dinner without failing. Oh, don't look at me like that. And you begin to despise your oil, think it's insignificant. What's the use? I absolutely have nothing. Can I tell you this morning what you have is enough for your miracle? What you have that God gave you can change the world. If one drop of blood could save all of humanity, your little bit of oil can do way beyond what you can imagine or even think. But Satan wants you to despise. He wants you to even despise this season in your life and go, oh, I wish I was 20 again. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. I've gotten older now. I wish I could go back in my 20s. I wish I could go back to high school. Or he gets you, you know, anxiety. That's the definition of living anxious life, is you can't live in the present. You want to live in the future or the past. You're trying to fix what you can. You cannot fix your past. You can only change your future. You can only partner with your future self and hang up on your past. If you sit and listen to your past and then listen in the other ear with your future, you will be double-minded. Is this making sense? Notice the question the prophet asked was not, what do you wish you had in your house? He did not ask her, what do you wish you had in your house? He asked her, what do you have in your house? Why did he ask her that? Is the more you pour, the more it will flow. He asked her that because the result of not pouring is staying poor. He asked her that, what do you have in your house? Is because what you have left, that's what God is going to bless. No, I'm waiting for Publishers Clearing House is coming. God told me through three people, and the light turned green at the right time. Can I suggest to you that God is wanting to use what you have, not what you don't? Can I suggest to you, he wants you to go borrow vessels when you have nothing to put nothing into it, because you're actually going to end up with something. Oh, help me somebody. According to the story, when you stop pouring, it stops flowing. I'm going to go back. The more you pour, All these vessels. Huge. No, I'm not pouring. The more you pour, the more it will flow. If you stop pouring, you'll remain poor, P-O-O-R. If you stop pouring, it stops flowing. You see, maybe you used to encourage people, but you got hurt. You used to encourage people, you know. Everywhere you went in, you know, you're always thinking about everybody else, and you had no problem just pouring into that person and that person until you realized, Lord, I only got enough for me, because nobody ever gives it back to me. And I'm tired of encouraging and nobody ever doing for me. Maybe you used to encourage people, but somewhere, because of something, you stopped pouring. Maybe you used to love people because you're a hard lover. And you would love, 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 love for you, love for you. No, that's the way it looks. You. I know I'm having a bad day, but I love you. I know my life is going through, but I love you. I know I need a word for myself, but let me give you a word from God. And somewhere down the line, when you don't get it back, you decide, I only got a little bit left. I better keep it for myself. I got hurt the last time I poured out. I got hurt the last time I loved somebody. I better not do that again. Can I ask you a question? Who are you pouring it for anyways? You have to back up and say, why did I pour? Why did I pour? It wasn't for them anyway. It was unto the Lord. You see, we pour unto God. We don't pour for people. But the moment you keep pouring for others, you will get burnt out. Because I'll tell you, on the day of your crucifixion, won't nobody be at the cross but mama. And if you think everybody's going to show up for your bad day, and if you're pouring for people and doing for people and loving and encouraging for people, you'll end up despising the oil you do have. And you'll stop pouring. But the more you pour. Well, Pastor, okay. I tell you what. I'll start pouring when I get more. I'll start pour. No. I hate to hurt your little cute heart. And don't ask me for the answer why, but it don't work that way as believers. It only becomes more as it's poured. I imagine this widow was like, you want what? And you want me to give up the last thing I got? My husband is dead, and you want me to use my oil? Yeah, I want you to pour it out. See, I've tried it. I have tried it lately after 30 years of ministry of, you know what? I'm not getting courage anymore. I'm gonna put my cap on. And then I found out that even made me more discouraged. Because I understand, like Jesus, our life is a drink offering ready to be poured out. Turn and tell somebody, pour so it will flow. God will command you to pour something that you don't feel like you have enough of. Happy Thanksgiving. You got to understand, God isn't psychotic. He isn't weird. You got to understand that as you pour out, it becomes more when it's done unto the Lord. If you hold on to your oil, you'll get poor. Your deficit will get greater. Don't hold on to your oil. Your oil is valuable. Your oil is valuable. You don't want to hang on to your oil and stay poor when God has more. Because if you hold on to your oil, you'll get frustrated more and you'll stay stuck. But Pastor, I'm tired of giving to people. Again, who are you giving for? I'm tired of getting hurt. I hate to be biblical, but Jesus got hurt and used. And if we really are disciples, it ain't about us. Now, if we'll make it about him, he will make it about us. Did you hear what I just said? But your little boo-boo, are you kidding me? He got a whole bunch of boo-boos. Why? So that you'll know your little bit of oil is much when God is in it. We used to sing that old hymn, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name. Little is much. Do you want to know what my God can do with that? Do you want to know what God can do with an uneducated human being? Oh, I'm not necessarily talking about me. I'm talking about the fellas, the 12 fellas. The Bible says they were uneducated. They were Galileans. And when you study that time, I hate to use something to offend somebody, they were downright hillbillies. They couldn't read or write. Can I tell you that it's not about you? Can I tell you, it is about the oil in you. It is about what God made you to do. Don't sit and look at other people's oil. Enjoy your own oil. Know that if you have a drop of oil. See, the world doesn't need water. It needs oil. I could come on this pulpit and put a drop of water right here. And I could put a drop of oil right beside it. And then come back tomorrow. One of them will be gone. One of them will be gone. But the oil stays. The oil lasts. The oil doesn't just show up one day. The oil will be with you every day. And that little bit of oil that you have in your life that you think is insignificant, not even worth mentioning, is the very thing that God wants to use to absolutely bless and bring breakthrough in your life, in your family. Turn and tell somebody, you have what you need. Now, I'm gonna let you get a little funny here. I say, you better recognize. Because she didn't recognize. Somebody told her what she had wasn't anything. Somebody convinced her that her gift was stupid, small, insignificant, not important. But I just got to tell somebody, just keep pouring. Just keep pouring. Verse 5 says something very significant. The man of God said, go get your vessels, but there's something key I want you to do. Shut the door. Silence every wrong voice. You see, you got to quit listening to people that don't care about your oil. You got to quit trying to pour around people that won't recognize the oil. You got to go and shut the door. Shut the door. You got to go shut the door. Because there comes a time where you got to stop comparing with other people and their voices. And as long as you keep the door open, You keep listening to other people and comparing your oil to other people. God wants you to shut the door. Get alone with Him. Get with God. When was the last time you got in your prayer closet and shut the door? When was the last time you got with the Holy Ghost? You're spending more time looking at Facebook than you are than hearing from God's face Himself. And God wants to speak to you, but He needs you. Before you start to pour, you got to shut the door. Shut the door on things in your life. Shut the door on wrong influences in your life. Shut the door on things that are stopping you from recognizing your oil or even contaminating it. Tell somebody, shut the door. Let me close. To be honest, I don't think this message is really about the oil. Because honestly, the oil is not the problem. I think this message is about the vessel. When Elijah told her to go around and to collect all these vessels from her neighbors, he gave her a specific thing to make sure, a certain type of vessel that she gets. He said, make sure they are empty vessels. Make sure they are empty vessels. Why, Pastor? Because you can't fill what's already full. You ever tried filling something that's already full? It ain't gonna work. You can't fill. God can only fill an empty vessel. That's why it's important that before God can fill you, you may need to pour some pride out. Don't get mad at me. Before God can fill you, you may need to pour out things that God never put in there. You may need to, here's an old-fashioned word, surrender. It's a great word. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Before God can fill you, you've got to get empty. He said, go get empty vessels that I could put oil in. If there's something in it, get rid of it. Because God can only, you know, what mother goes to a sink that has a baby and digs out a nasty bottle out of the sink and pours fresh milk into a nasty bottle? God's looking. Well, let me put it this way. Your miracle is looking for a vessel. The vessel is not looking for the miracle. The miracle is looking for a vessel. Your miracle is looking to find a vessel that is empty. That will say, Lord, I am empty of myself. I am empty of my pride. I'm empty of thinking I know what's best over everything and only you know what's best. I'm empty of being a bad husband because I'm so arrogant. I'm controlling. I'm tired of being a wife that uses manipulation the way my mama did and my grandmama did. I need to empty myself of manipulation. Oh, help me, somebody. Turn and tell somebody, empty yourself. So, how does this tie into the New Testament? How does this tie into the New Covenant, this whole vessel thing? 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Are you kidding me? Why would God use you? Why would God use a broken, messed up, cracked vessel? When I answer that, you have to read the second half of the scripture. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of you. Oh, there's a treasure in you. You have oil. And I'll tell you every Sunday until you realize it. You have something in your life that you may seem is so small, but it will change the world. Greater is He that is in you. There is a treasure in that earthen vessel. There is oil in your house. You need to stop and recognize it. You have oil in your house. You have in your house what it would take. We may have to anoint with oil. You have in your house what it takes for the miracle. Patronize me a minute and say, I have something. Now I want you to say it to yourself. I have something. Yes, you do. Maybe nobody's ever told you how valuable your oil is. I've been there where somebody made me feel like my oil was stupid. Or my oil was weird. And that nobody wants that oil. Who would want it? But can I tell you, your oil is valuable. Your oil is very valuable. And hell knows the moment you recognize it's valuable, hell's in trouble. Because your oil may be the very thing that brings revival to Tuscaloosa. Your oil may be the very thing that brings revival to the University of Alabama. Your oil may be the very thing that brings revival to Shelton State, Stillman College, B.F. Goodrich, Mercedes. Somebody say, I have something. I give you permission just to get a little bit cocky. But it's not about you. It's confidence. I need you to say, oh, I have something. Oh, yes, I do. And I'm tired of despising my own oil. I'm tired of thinking that what I have isn't good enough. And I'm tired of comparing my oil to everybody else's oil. When my oil is powerful. You have what you need for your miracle. Some of you are like, I'm just believing. I'm believing for this in my life, and I'm believing for this. Check your oil. I'm believing God for a miracle here and a miracle there. I just know it's coming. It's coming. And you don't even realize what's in the house will produce your miracle. She what?
She had to make a decision to do something with what she had. She couldn't just sit there and keep believing that what was in that little jar was going to do something for her. She had to put works. Faith without works is dead.
Quit saying I have nothing. I wish on this Thanksgiving Eve weekend. So let me tell you what Jesus told me before I started this message. I was praying, and I said, God, I don't want to do just some cute Thanksgiving message. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, all ye earth. Serve the Lord. I said, I really want to hear from you. And He only said one statement to me, and I need you to listen to this. He said, Scott, I want people to thank me for themselves. About 2 weeks ago that He said that. He said, I want the church to stop and say thank you for making me. It messed me up when He said that. Because I could thank Him for Christy. My kids, you. Did you know there's no greater joy to the chef, the maker, when you stop and recognize how good it is? This is good. Some of y'all gonna be doing that on Thursday. Who made this? Who made this? Who made this? Who made this? God made you. God made this. God formed you when there was nothing. He's called you to the nations. He's called you to your world. He's called you to your neighborhood. Recognize the oil. Recognize who is in you. recognize there's a treasure named Jesus in your vessel. Let's pray. Oh, Father, somebody needs to stand.